Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Mackie, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Friday, May 20th, 2022. Midland gas prices below state average. Area's 5-cent increase, 14 cents lower than average across Texas, by Stuart Doreen. The average price of gasoline in Midland is lower than the state average, according to AAA Texas. The organization reported Thursday that the average price around the state spiked. That included double-digit increases in 22 of the 27 largest metropolitan areas and weekly price increases in 13 markets of 20 cents or more. The price increase in Midland was 5 cents, which was not only 14 cents lower than the state average, but tied for the second lowest weekly increase. Odessa had the lowest at 1 cent. The outcome is Midland showed an average of $4.23 a gallon, which is a record but still below the $4.29 average around the state. It is the first time in years that AAA Texas reported in a weekly price report that the average in Midland dropped below the state average across the state. Where the price in Midland goes remains to be seen. Twice in the last 2 months, AAA Texas has reported price increases across the state before they hit Midland. But Midland gas stations have been closer to the state average in recent months. For example, the average price of gas in Midland was 8 cents higher than the state average last week. 1 year ago, that difference was 23 cents. Over the next couple weeks, Midland retailers will set the new round of prices to provide an indication of whether this week's decline below the state average is the new norm or an aberration. Amarillo posted the lowest average in the West Texas region, $4.01, an increase of 10 cents weekly, and state. Other averages included $4.04 in Lubbock, a 10-cent increase, $4.21 in Odessa, $4.21 in Abilene, a 5-cent increase, $4.23 in San Angelo, a 13-cent increase, and $4.30 in El Paso, a 7-cent increase. The statewide gas price average continues to hit record highs as crude oil inched up to $115 a barrel earlier this week. U.S. demand increased week to week while regional supplies dipped. The all-time high prices come as 3.2 million Texans plan to travel over the Memorial Day weekend, according to AAA Texas data. Fire causes shutdown. A vehicle fire created the need to close lanes on Interstate 20 on Wednesday. A county spokesperson told the Reporter Telegram that a semi-truck caught on fire and the westbound lanes from Big Spring Street to Cotton Flat were shut down. The Texas Department of Transportation added, "We will be moving the closure back to State Highway 349 exit due to a grass fire. No westbound traffic on the North Service Road until the grass fire is contained. Traffic being detoured to Big Spring Street." Colgate merger is worth $7 billion. Combined entity with Centennial to be headquartered in Midland under a new name. By Mella McEwen. Three significant acquisitions made last year significantly expanded the size of Midland's Colgate Energy. It also shone a brighter spotlight on the company and gave rise to speculation the company might sell or go public with an initial public offering. Thursday, the company put that speculation to rest with announcement that it and Denver-based Centennial Resource Development will combine in a merger of equals transaction that creates a $7 billion pure-play Permian Basin operator. The transaction is expected to close in the second half of the year. In announcing the transaction, Colgate and Centennial said the company will be headquartered in Midland with a significant Denver presence and will sport a new name at closing. The Colgate and Centennial teams have each demonstrated a track record of execution through the years, and we are excited to assume leadership roles in the new company to build upon that success and guide the next phase of value creation. Both companies have established strong financial and operational cultures, and we expect the combined company will be a top-tier, low-cost operator that is able to deliver better margins and shareholder returns, Will Hickey, co-CEO of Colgate, told the Reporter-Telegram by email. The merger of Colgate and Centennial is compelling from a financial, operational, and strategic standpoint, establishing a leading Permian Basin independent. We believe the pro forma company is positioned to maximize returns for our new investor base. With our combined management team bringing a track record of operational excellence and strategic value creation, this combination enhances our position and scale in Midland, and together we are creating a premier Permian Basin pure play with headquarters in Midland. Both companies share a strong commitment to our people, community, and ESG excellence. These common values create an exceptional foundation for the pro forma company, and we are excited to bring another public company to Midland, James Walter, co-CEO of Colgate, told the Reporter-Telegram by email. When the combination is completed, Hickey and Walter will continue their roles as co-chief executive officers, while Sean Smith, currently Centennial CEO, will become executive chairman. The team at Colgate has worked hard to reach a scale that would allow the company to achieve a public listing either via IPO or be an attractive strategic merger partner. Andrew Dittmar, director at Enverus, the energy-focused software as a service company, told the Reporter-Telegram by email, "Continued challenging equity markets for new E&P IPOs makes the choice to merge with an existing public operator the obvious path to reaching public markets. Both companies are focused on the Delaware Basin," Dittmar pointed out, "and of the smaller-sized Permian names, Centennial is, by a considerable margin, the most obvious fit. Given that its pairing of acreage on both the Texas and New Mexico sides of the Delaware matches Colgate's asset base and asset quality. Colgate brings 70,000 barrels of oil equivalent a day and 105,000 net acres to the deal, which will create an expanded pure-play Permian entity with an enterprise value of $7 billion, and that holds pro forma 180,000 net leasehold acres, 40,000 net royalty acres, and total current production of 135,000 barrels of oil equivalent per day. From Centennial's point of view, the combination with Colgate immediately jumps the company into another bracket for market size and operational scale. The company is boosting production by about 110%, acreage by about 140%, and locations by about 130%, while Colgate will account for about 56% of the enterprise value of the combined company, Dittmar wrote. The price looks fair to Centennial at something less than $10,000 an acre for Colgate's high-quality position. Overall, he concluded the combination with Colgate should ultimately make Centennial a more attractive equity to investors based on the operational scale and return profile, although this is a challenging day to announce a large strategic merger given broader equity market struggles this week. The approximately $7 billion merger of equals values Colgate at approximately $3.9 billion and is comprised of 269.3 million shares of Centennial stock, $525 million of cash, and the assumption of approximately $1.4 billion of Colgate's outstanding net debt. Obituaries. Alina Mendoza. Alina Mendoza peacefully passed away on Tuesday, May 17, 2022, surrounded by her family. Alina was born in Big Spring, Texas on July 11, 1933, to Serapia Puga. She was raised in Odessa, Texas with her grandmother, Alma. Alina was a very independent woman. From a very young age, she was a very hard worker and worked till the age of 82. She was always ready to help others and lend a hand. She loved spending time with her kids and grandkids. She was a very loving, compassionate, and caring mother and grandmother. She is survived by her sons, Joe Angel Mendoza, Jerry Mendoza, and daughters, Mary Ann Bustillos, Belinda Mendoza, and Sylvia Mendoza. Her brother, Tomas Vallis, 16 grandkids, 43 great-grandkids, and 21 great-great-grandkids. She was preceded in death by her mother, Serapia Puga, her husband, Angel Olgan Mendoza, children Louis Mendoza, Velma Mendoza, and Tommy Mendoza, grandson Edward Mendoza, brothers C.B. Nunez and Cruz Sanchez. Viewing will be held at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home on Thursday, May 19th from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. and Friday, May 20th from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Rosary will be Friday, May 20th at 7 p.m. Funeral services will be at St. Anne's Church on Saturday, May 21st at 9 a.m. Burial will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens with reception at St. Anne's Church. Her pallbearers are George Romero Sr., Matthew Cervantes, Tommy Mendoza, Rosario Portillo, Ernesto Montez, Albert Montez, Anthony Montez, Jerry Don Mendoza, and Melissa Portillo. Honorary pallbearers are Gilbert Mendoza and Jerry Mendoza. The family would like to express their gratitude towards the staff at Midland Memorial Hospital, Senior Life, Dr. Barnett's office, and Angels Care Home Health. We will miss her peaceful spirit. Funeral service is under the direction of Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin at nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at www.llewellyngarciapipkinfh.com. Death notices. Diamond Michelle Royal Rowe. Diamond Michelle Royal Rowe of Midland died 5/11/22 in Midland, Texas. There will be a celebration of life followed by burial at American Heritage Cemetery on May 24, 2022 at 11 a.m. at AHFH. Arrangements are entrusted to American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory in Midland. Domingo Ramos Pena. Domingo Ramos Pena, 71, of Midland, Texas, passed away May 16, 2022. Viewing will be on Monday, May 23, 2022, at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home from 10 a.m. until 8 p.m., with a rosary starting at 7 p.m. Funeral Mass will take place on Tuesday, May 24, 2022, at 2 p.m. at Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish and Shrine Catholic Church. Online condolences can be received at www.asanchezTFH.com. Fabian Espinosa. Fabian Bobby Espinosa, 55, of Midland, passed away Wednesday, May 18, 2022. A celebration of life will be held Sunday, May 22, 2022, at 3 o'clock p.m. at La Comunidad, 5200 West Illinois Avenue, Midland, Texas. Arrangements were made with Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. Junior Noah Cotton. Junior Noah Cotton, 93, of Midland, passed away May 17, 2022. No service is planned at this time. Arrangements are under the direction of Nallie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Toby J.D. Smith. Smith, Toby J.D., 55, passed away Monday, May 16, 2022. He was born October 12, 1966, to Wesley Kenneth Smith and Janie Evelyn Still Smith in Midland, Texas. He graduated from Robert Lee High School in 1985. He was preceded in death by his parents. Toby is survived by his wife, Tracy Smith, children Brandon, Sean, and Devin, sisters Marilyn Durham, Marcia Sullivan. MC Nursing Donation. Choose Life Midland recently participated in college fairs to speak to students about life, that it begins at conception, the act of abortion, and how the child is developed in the womb. Midland College nursing instructor Kristen Spencer accepted fetal models for their classroom. Real Thanks treats veterans to fishing trip, by Mercedes Cordero. Real Thanks welcomed four veterans to Permian Basin on May 12th for an all-expenses-paid fishing trip to Lake Amistad. Real Thanks 54th Group, consisting of veterans SSG Darren, SSG Sam, SPC Chris, and PV2 Jake, arrived at Midland International Airport, where they were greeted by the Patriot Guard riders and Real Thanks members. During their visit to Midland and Odessa, the veterans visited the Permian Basin Vietnam Veterans Memorial, KD's Barbecue in Midland for an evening of fellowship, the Chris Kyle Memorial, and Viva's Cafe in Odessa. The group was escorted by the Patriot Guard riders, Midland County Sheriff's Office, and the Northeast Midland County Volunteer Fire Department as they traveled through Midland County. Greenwood ISD students also lined the road to welcome the veterans. The nonprofit's mission is to honor our country's combat wounded, injured, active military service members and veterans with an all-expenses-paid fishing trip to Lake Amistad. Founded in 2007, Real Thanks has taken more than 300 individuals on its fishing trips. Wife of disabled veteran fights a battle of her own. Dear Abby. Dear Abby, my father died 5 years ago at 90. For the last 20 years of his life, both my sisters shunned him because they disliked his second wife, who predeceased him. She had never been anything but kind to us all. They refused to speak to him, and when he was dying, announced that they wouldn't attend his funeral. When an aunt informed them that Dad had left over $1 million in cash and no will, they couldn't get here fast enough. They caused me major distress by falsely accusing me of trying to steal from them. I have never taken anything from my sisters. I made certain the money was equally distributed, then shut them out of my life. Family, to me, is synonymous with loyalty, love, and trust. Without it, we're just relations. I plan to never speak to them again. Am I wrong? Signed, Disgusted, in Denver. Dear Disgusted, you are not wrong. Please accept my sympathy for the loss of your father. With relatives like your sisters, you don't need enemies. In a case like this, it is common sense to protect yourself. Keeping your distance will accomplish it nicely. Dear Abby, will you mention the problem of adult bullying in the workplace? The bullies are usually buddy-buddy with supervisors and get away with the harassment, which includes name-calling, ridiculing, and gossiping, which makes for a very uncomfortable work environment. This happens too often. Signed, Once Bullied. Dear Bullied, sadly, you're right. It does happen too often. A way to stop it is first to tell the bully that you don't like it. Then start documenting the incidents, including the dates, times, and what was done. Take that information to your boss or supervisor and ask them to put a stop to it. If that doesn't help, take your concerns to HR. If HR doesn't stop what's going on, take the problem and your evidence to the EEOC. What you have described is a hostile work environment, which might be the basis of legal action. Dear Abby, I recently hosted a bridal shower for my daughter's soon-to-be sister-in-law. It was a lovely affair with delicious food and adorable decor. Everyone enjoyed themselves. After it was over, my daughter chided me for not giving a gift. I was dumbfounded, hurt, and more than a little angry. The cost of the shower, not including my time and labor, was well over what I would have spent on a gift. My daughter is angry with me now because I told her she was being rude and ridiculous. Should I apologize and get the couple an additional gift? I have hosted many such events and always thought the party was a gift. Signed, Annoyed in Albuquerque. Dear Annoyed, according to the Everything Wedding Shower Book by Jennifer Jenkins, it is customary for the hostess to get the bride a gift for the shower, just like everyone else. However, I am not sure I agree with Jennifer. After having expended the time, effort, and expense of planning and executing the shower, I really don't think an additional gift was necessary.
This is Reed, and this is the Odessa American for Friday, May 20th, 2022. ODC plans grant for Penwell facility. Occidental Petroleum and a group of partners is considering building a new $810 million facility near Penwell that could help reduce the area's carbon footprint, and the Odessa Development Corporation hopes to seal the deal with a $2.4 million grant. Last month, Occidental Petroleum told investors they plan to spend up to $1 billion on a facility in the Permian Basin that could remove 500,000 tons of carbon dioxide directly from the air, in what would be the world's largest direct air capture project. According to a Houston Chronicle article, the facility would join 70 direct air capture facilities that are expected to become active by 2035. On Wednesday, Tom Mansky, Director of Economic Development for the Odessa Chamber of Commerce, told the ODC that Occidental Petroleum and its partners, going by the name of 1.5, had applied for a $2.4 million grant that would be paid out over 5 years. The company indicated it would like to build a new $810 million facility that would capture carbon dioxide directly from the atmosphere, solidify it, store it, and sell it, Mansky said. The company anticipates hiring a total of 125 employees over a 5-year period, resulting in a payroll nearing $23 million at the end of that time period. According to the company's website, the Permian Basin facility is currently in, quote, front-end engineering and development, end quote, and will be operational by late 2024. The company's mission is to curb global temperature rise to 1.5 degrees Celsius by 2050, according to the website. ODC member Chris Crow pointed out that under the matrix the ODC normally uses to determine how much a company should get in incentives, the company had actually qualified for more than $15 million in incentives. All of the ODC members agreed the company's request was reasonable and the proposal was lucrative. As a result, they voted unanimously to recommend approval of the grant to the Odessa City Council, which is expected to take up the matter on Tuesday. Following the meeting, Mansky said he knows 1.5 has been considering 4 states to build such a facility. If the company chooses to build here, the project would likely be among the top 10 investments seen in ODC history and encompass hundreds of acres, he said. The number of future employees who will be earning a good wage and benefits is significant, but the property taxes generated by the company would be an even bigger boon, Mansky said. The chamber began working with the company long before he arrived in February, he said. Quote, we tied up loose ends and got it over the finish line, but it had been recruited. It was already in the pipeline. We're still working with that group, trying to get them to look at some other opportunities here. The consultants that they've utilized, they've been good to work with. They've been in town numerous times since I've been here, end quote, Mansky said. Assuming the city council approves the grant, 1.5 will still need to confirm all of the costs involved in the project before making any final decisions, he said. However, Mansky said he is, quote, confident, end quote, the company will choose to build in Ector County and have identified a location near the future site of the $8 billion Nicaro gasoline plant. Quote, I think there were issues that made us a favorite all along. One of the big members of this partnership already has a presence in the basin. They know the skill level of the labor force and the capabilities. There are also some things like a lot of carbon is produced out here, so there's a lot they can capture. They know the climate. You know, geographically, we don't have a huge issue with tornadoes in and around Odessa, end quote, Mansky said. AFA provides tips to help caregivers combat depression. A press release from the Alzheimer's Foundation of America details depression is a serious and common challenge facing the more than 16 million Americans caring for a family member with Alzheimer's disease. Family caregivers of individuals living with dementia-related illnesses, such as Alzheimer's, are at greater risk for depression than caregivers of people with other conditions, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. As part of Mental Health Awareness Month this May, the Alzheimer's Foundation of America is providing tips to help caregivers combat depression. Quote, Alzheimer's family caregivers frequently put their family members' needs ahead of their own physical and emotional needs, often to the point where they become overwhelmed. Many experience depression brought on by exhaustion, stress, and feelings of isolation and loss. When these feelings start to occur, they shouldn't be reluctant to seek help or open up, end quote. Jennifer Reeder, LCSW, SIFI, AFA's Director of Educational and Social Services, stated in the press release. Quote, everyone needs to replenish themselves physically, mentally, and emotionally, and it's important that caregivers find ways to do that, end quote. AFA encourages family caregivers to take the following steps to help combat depression. Ask family members and friends for support. Many may be eager to help, but not know how. Be specific and let people know what you need. Try relaxation exercises such as meditation and yoga. Do physical activities. Mind and body are interconnected. Take time for yourself. Even something simple like going for a walk can be relaxing. Look into respite care, so you have time both for the things you need to do and that you want to do. Respite care provides short-term relief for primary caregivers. It can be arranged for just an afternoon or for several days or weeks. Care can be provided at home, in a health care facility, or at an adult day center. To find respite care services in your area, contact AFA's helpline at 866-232-8484. Try journaling to express all your thoughts, both positive and negative. By writing about your feelings, you may also become more aware of the stress you feel. Join a caregiver support group. You will be with other people who understand exactly what you are going through and can share emotions and support as well as practical advice and resources in a safe and understanding environment. The Alzheimer's Foundation of America currently offers free weekly telephone-based caregiver support groups. Get a good night's sleep. Speak to your doctor if you are struggling with sleep problems. Pay attention to nutrition. A diet rich in fresh fruits, vegetables, and healthful fats, while low in processed foods, may help with symptoms of depression. Best Friends Animal Society, Fix West Texas, collaborate to save kittens, cats in Midland. Best Friends Animal Society and Fix West Texas announced via press release that they have come together to save kittens and cats through an enhanced foster program. With the community's support, Fix West Texas will pull kittens and cats brought to Midland Animal Services and place them with local volunteer fosters until they are old enough to be spayed, neutered, and adopted, which is typically over 8 weeks of age and meeting weight needs for surgery, or transported to a receiving rescue partner for adoption. Some cats and kittens will be available for adoption through Fix West Texas Working Cat Program, the press release detailed. A variety of homes could be ideal for these cats/kittens. Working cats have been placed with retail stores, businesses with office space, car repair shops, barns, sheds, stables, garages, greenhouses, or warehouses. Best Friends Animal Society and Vix West Texas are committed to increasing life-saving throughout the Midland community. But it takes a village to save them all. Best Friends, a national animal welfare organization, has been collaborating with Vix West Texas for several years, but launched this enhanced foster program in May. Quote, our goal is to supplement the work that Vix West Texas and other dedicated rescue organizations in Midland, Texas are already doing, end quote. Paula Powell, senior strategist, Best Friends Animal Society, stated in the press release, quote, we saw there was a life-saving opportunity with both cats and the youngest of kittens who are the most vulnerable and resource-intensive in a shelter because of the round-the-clock care they require. Best Friends, a national animal welfare organization, has been collaborating with Vix West Texas for several years, but launched this enhanced foster program in May. Quote, our goal is to supplement the work that Vix West Texas and other dedicated rescue organizations in Midland, Texas are already doing, end quote. Paula Powell, senior strategist, Best Friends Animal Society, stated in the press release. Quote, we saw there was a life-saving opportunity with both cats and the youngest of kittens, who are the most vulnerable and resource-intensive in a shelter because of the round-the-clock care they require. With the community support, we can increase life-saving for them and make an impactful difference for pets in Midland, end quote. Quote, we are very excited and grateful that Best Friends has taken an interest and is investing resources in our community's desire to increase our life-saving efforts. With their help, we feel that we can take our foster and adoption program to the next level by increasing capacity and saving more lives, end quote. Karen Patterson, Vice President of Operations, Vix West Texas, stated in the press release, foster families are needed for the foster program. Medical care is covered for the cat or kitten while in the care of a foster home, and supplies can be provided for free. Those interested in helping can email fosterwesttexas@bestfriends.org for more information or visit www.bestfriends.org/Midland, Texas. Can you explain electrolytes? Dear Dr. Roach, can you explain electrolytes? How can we make sure we keep our electrolytes in the normal range within our body? Are we wasting our money purchasing bottled water that says includes electrolytes? I came across an electrolyte powder that can be added to water. Is this the best way to keep electrolytes in the normal range? How can we tell if we are taking too much electrolytes? AR. Answer. Chemicals that dissolve in water are called electrolytes when they break into charged particles called ions. They conduct electricity, hence the name. The most important electrolytes in the body are sodium, potassium, chloride, bicarbonate, the ionized form of carbon dioxide dissolved in water, magnesium, calcium, and phosphate. These are regulated by the body very carefully through wonderfully complex systems and are kept in perfect balance most of the time. We get the overwhelming majority of our electrolytes from food. Most people need never worry about their electrolytes, nor do anything special to keep them regulated. All water, except purified laboratory water, such as distilled, contains some electrolytes. But when you pay for, quote, electrolyte water, end quote, there are a lot more electrolytes than in tap water. Most of the time, this is a waste of money, since your body regulates the electrolytes well through what you get in through your food. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach. Death notices. Shirley Ann Prophet Brown Martin, Odessa. Shirley Ann Prophet Brown Martin, 84, of Odessa, died Monday, May 16, 2022, in Odessa. Memorial service will be held at 3 p.m. May 23, 2022, at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Elisa Davila Munoz, Odessa. Elisa Davila Munoz, 83, of Odessa, died Sunday, May 15, 2022, in Odessa. Memorial service will be held at 3 p.m. May 28, 2022, at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Engineering students take flight this weekend. As their senior project, four University of Texas Permian Basin students decided to build a plane and enter the SAE Aero Design Competition in Fort Worth. The contest starts today and goes through Saturday with awards on Sunday at Thunderbird Field. Three of the four students have graduated. Ramiro Andujo earned a bachelor's degree in mechanical engineering. Garrett Martin, a bachelor's degree in mechanical engineering with a concentration in nuclear engineering. And Arashi Shimizu, a bachelor's degree in mechanical engineering. Sophomore Melanie Azakar, a mechanical engineering sophomore, rounded out the group. Bibian Ogbuji, assistant research professor, was their faculty leader and is going with them to Fort Worth. The Fort Worth contest is the East competition, and Martin said there is a West competition in California. Andujo said the team spent the fall semester designing the plane and began construction in the spring. Ogbuji said the UTPB team will probably be one of the smallest groups because places like Texas A&M University have classes on this. There will be about 50 teams with participants from all over the world. Quote, we have four students who pretty much put in a tremendous amount of time and effort, so I'm very, very impressed with them, end quote, Ogbuji said. The plane is 85 inches from the nose to the tail and has a 90.2-inch wingspan. It is radio-controlled. Martin said the craft is made entirely out of balsa and birch wood. Quote, we also used 3D-printed PLA plastics and the landing gear. The nose gear is aluminum, and the main gear is carbon fiber, because we're allowed to do that in the competition. The spars are also aluminum, end quote, Martin said. He explained that the spars are what the wing puts all its weight on. Quote, the spars are basically the structure of the wing, end quote, Martin said. They have enough room in the fuselage to carry three soccer balls. Andujo said UTPB no longer has an aerospace program, so all the information they learned was through self-study. Shimizu said one of the reasons they could design and build a plane is because aerospace engineering is an extension of mechanical engineering. He said learning the aerospace part was challenging but manageable. Ogbuji said they had their first test flight Wednesday morning, and they showed a video of it. Quote, it did better than we expected it to do, end quote, Martin said. They have two planes just in case, but they are only taking one. It had to have room for three soccer balls in the fuselage. Martin and Andujo said they never thought they would be building a plane, but Shimizu had done it before. Shimizu said it flew well, but it was a high school project. Quote, we were able to use math to determine that the plane would even fly before we ever got the wood to start building it. That math included fluid dynamics, aerodynamics, structural analysis, which is just basically, hey, we subject this to 10 pounds, is it going to break? And no, it will not, end quote, Martin said. For senior design, Andujo said, most students get in groups and design some sort of project. Quote, either they'll have something in mind or they can speak with a professor. For example, in our senior design group, there were two other groups. One group did basically a float gear for a pump jack, and the other group did a cargo trailer. The cargo trailer was basically their own idea, and the float gear was Dr. Forrest Flocker's idea, end quote, Martin said. Flocker, who is retiring, is an associate professor of mechanical engineering. Shimizu said it looked like there were previous plans for the aerospace competition, but they just made the schematics, and that's how they know. So that's how they know about the competition. With a test flight under their belt, Martin said they feel more confident about their design. Quote, their specific criteria with the competition. The number one thing is takeoff and landing distance. We have to take off within 100 feet. We're extremely confident we can do that with no issues. And also to qualify to compete, we have to be able to carry a soccer ball completely enclosed inside the cargo bay. But we are carrying three soccer balls because one is going to be too easy, end quote, Martin said. Quote, there's a whole laundry list of rules and requirements, but we basically have to take off within 100 feet, do a big old circle about 800 feet in diameter-ish, and then come back and land, end quote, he added. Martin noted that there is also a contest requirement that teams have to submit a completely from-scratch plane every year. Quote, ours is extremely from scratch. We have no prior template, so really, when it came to designing it, we just leaned on a couple of books and took a little bit of inspiration from a Cessna 172. But if you were to compare our planes, they look nothing like a Cessna 172, end quote, Martin said. Although the project was a lot of work on top of their schoolwork, Martin said it was worth it. Quote, there were a lot of ups and downs and a lot of challenges with it as well. But for as much as we've all complained about having the amount of work we've had to do, a lot of it has been really enjoyable, end quote, Martin said. Shimizu said Martin and Anduho did a really good job, even though aerospace is not their area. Azucar said Shimizu got her into the plane project gradually. Quote, I thought it would be fun. It was a really tough semester. This semester was full of work, but it was worth it. I feel like it came out good. I always want to learn things. I'm always up to that. Aerospace and airplane stuff is just new to me at this point, end quote, Azucar said. Quote, I'm proud that we are doing something to represent the College of Engineering, but for me, it's more like we're doing something good for us to gain experience, end quote, she added. She noted that UTPB has supported their initiative to do this project. Shimizu said UTPB is small and flexible enough to make the competition possible. He added that if you are motivated enough, have a good plan, and present it to the right people, you can receive support. Ogbuji is also looking forward to the competition. Quote, I literally had chills watching the flight today and knowing the process, being there and seeing all their hard work. Last night, we were awake until 12:23 a.m. They were in the lab trying to fix some mechanical issues and electrical issues that we had, and just being able to see all of that pay off is something that I am so glad to be part of, end quote, Ogbuji said. She added that the team was supported by Midland Development Corp, Air Compressor Solutions, Eastland Oil Company, and the College of Engineering. Teachers get big bucks for student growth. Ector County ISD officials took a road trip Thursday morning to campuses across the district to award oversized teacher incentive allotment checks to 120 teachers. This is the first payout year for ECISD, and 120 teachers across 31 campuses are going to receive incentives ranging from $3,145 to $19,525. The amount per teacher is based on the level of academic growth their students attained, teacher instructional performance, and the percentage of socioeconomically disadvantaged students at their school, a news release stated. There are three levels for which a Texas teacher can qualify: recognized, exemplary, and master. In ECISD, 64 teachers are recognized, 50 are exemplary, and 6 are at the master level, which is the highest designation, a news release said. A qualifying teacher receives the TIA funds, but they also get the recognized, exemplary, or master designation placed on their teaching certificate. In all, ECISD received $879,579 from the state for TIA incentives. The first stop was Murray Fly Elementary School, where 10 teachers were recognized. They had an audience of some 200 pre-kindergarten through fifth-grade students. People could also watch the presentations via live stream. Murray Fly Principal Sam Martinez said there are about 1,000 students at his campus. Quote, several years ago, the state legislature in Texas decided that they wanted to set aside a really large amount of money to recognize the teachers in the state of Texas that grow kids the most, that are the most effective teachers in our state, end quote, Murray said. ECISD decided they wanted to be a part of that because, Murray said, there are some amazing teachers that work in the district. Martinez said these teachers have an extraordinary ability to develop a great rapport with their students and parents. Quote, that's what helps them to be successful, end quote, Martinez said. Next year, he expects to have close to 30 teachers qualify out of the 45 that work there. When the teacher incentive allotment was first discussed, Martinez said they didn't really believe it because it sounded too good to be true. But now they believe. Quote, we've always focused on progress here at Murray Fly. We want every kid to progress regardless of where they start. And the main thing is their ability to develop those relationships with the kids, end quote, Martinez said. Murray said the awards are based on the MAP, Measures of Academic Progress, assessment, and the teacher evaluation process. Those combined create a score for each teacher in the district, he added. The first meeting about teacher incentive allotment was in October 2019, Murray said. These, quote, these checks are for last year's data. It takes a full year because once we collect the data, it goes to Texas Tech University for validation. They have to make sure that it is valid and reliable because there's so much money associated with it. This year's results will define next year's money, end quote, he added. Griselda Montez, a fourth grade bilingual math teacher, said they would do what they do for students regardless. But this time they're being rewarded for it, which is a big deal. Quote, it's really appreciated coming from a teacher's point of view because we don't get that much appreciation, so this means a lot. It's a lot of money, end quote, Montez said. She noted that this was based on data from last year when students were online part of the time. Book tour brings author to endless horizons. Biography explores the life of influential artist DJ Screw. DJ Screw was one of the most influential artists to come from Houston. The artist was known as the creator of the now famous chopped and screwed DJ technique and was a central and influential figure in the Houston hip-hop community. A new book by former Houstonian Lance Walker explores the life of the DJ, whose real name was Robert Earl Davis Jr. The book, which is titled DJ Screw, A Life in Slow Revolution, was released May 17th. Walker will be at Endless Horizons in Odessa at 3 p.m. today to talk about his new book and to sign copies, which will be a part of his book tour. It'll be the first time that Walker has come out to the Permian Basin. Quote, that's one of the main reasons that I'll be coming through because this tour gives me a chance to come through parts of Texas that I haven't been to, end quote, Walker said in a phone interview. Quote, I've always wanted to come to Odessa and visit that area of the state, but never had the chance. I found out about Endless Horizons and knew that was the destination where I wanted to go. It gives me an opportunity to come to Odessa and see a part of the state that I haven't been to, end quote. Walker's book is the first on the legendary DJ and is built out of more than 150 interviews with those who knew Screw best and written in an innovative narrative biography / oral history format that serves to highlight their voices in telling Screw's story. DJ Screw lived a short life, dying only at the age of 29 on November 16, 2000, in Houston of a codeine overdose. Walker talked about the relationship he built with people that he interviewed for this book. Quote, it was very good because this is their book, end quote, Walker said. Quote, I really wrote this book for them in so many ways, for the people that were a part of his life. The goal was to have a book that was based around the oral history where if DJ Screw is looking down, he'd want to know that all of these people are in his book, and they are. I got to say people have been really happy with the results. I've gotten a lot of feedback from people that I've interviewed in the book. They're so happy to see their names and their friends' names in the book. It's sort of the lost stories that have never been told. It has some deeper truths and facts about DJ Screw's life that even some of his friends didn't know, end quote. Screw released over 350 mixtapes and was recognized as an innovator. His legacy was discovered by a wider audience about 5 years after his death, and has influenced a wide variety of artists, most notably Houstonian rapper Travis Scott. Scott paid homage to DJ Screw in his 2018 album, Astroworld. Quote, Travis Scott is a pretty obvious one because he just had a song that's dedicated to Screw that came out in his Astroworld album, and he features Big Hawk on that record, end quote, Walker said. Quote, I wrote about that in the book. There's a lot of Houston influence in there and a lot of mention of DJ Screw. A lot of DJs have taken on his influence and done their own version of it. They're taking those techniques that Screw put together and they're making their own art form out of it. And I think that's the most beautiful thing about DJ Screw's influence, end quote. The book is published by the University of Texas Press. Walker, who listened to a lot of DJ Screw's mixtapes growing up, originally came up with the idea of doing a biography over a decade ago. Quote, I really got the idea going in about 2008 when I was working on a couple of other Houston hip-hop book projects, end quote, Walker said. Quote, but I'd say that I really put wheels under it around 2015, and that was when I reached out to the publisher at the University of Texas and got to talking about the idea. They liked the idea, but I had to put together a book proposal and jump through all the hoops, so I went to work on that. That took me about another 4 years before I had that all ready. It takes a while, end quote. Walker may have been originally from Galveston, but he moved to Houston in 1992. Today he lives in New York City. During the early 90s, Walker mentions at the beginning of his book, the Ghetto Boys were the local heroes, breaking nationally the summer before. Shortly thereafter, it was DJ Screw who had emerged to define the sound of the city. Walker remembers he himself listened to DJ Screw's tapes just like everybody else in the city. Quote, I was in the punk rock heavy metal scene, end quote, Walker said. Quote, I was going to some hip-hop shows, but I would see local bands like the Odd Squad. I wasn't aware of that scene. I could tell that something was brewing and that DJ Screw's tapes were getting around. Really, when I first moved to Houston in the early 90s, the big group was the Ghetto Boys, end quote. Walker talked about how the Ghetto Boys helped pave the way for people like DJ Screw. Quote, the Ghetto Boys broke nationally right at the same time. That was really the scene when I moved to Houston. I think that was really important to Screw and Houston because people looked at them and said, wow, those guys come from my neighborhood. I really think the Ghetto Boys made a lot of things possible for people in Houston. Screw's entire network and scene was built differently, but I think the seed was planted from the Ghetto Boys, and that helped out, end quote. In his book, Walker talks about how even though DJ Screw has been gone for 2 decades now, the sound of his chopped and screwed mixing technique has left an indelible mark on contemporary music. His tapes continue to sell and get sampled by other artists, and unearthed volumes of his recordings still materialize each year. Quote, as far as what has stood out the most in the mainstream of hip-hop, when you hear music slowed down one way or another, that music comes from him, end quote, Walker said. Quote, he's got an influence around hip-hop that is mainstream in general, end quote. As far as his influence in Houston, it goes a lot deeper. Quote, Screw was a personal friend of so many of the people in Houston who appeared in his tapes and learned how to freestyle on his tapes and became artists because of working with him, end quote, Walker said. Quote, that personal connection, I think, really keeps his legacy alive in Houston and beyond in a way that's really palpable in the people who worked with him. He really meant a lot to them and inspired them and really made artists out of them where they otherwise would not have taken that path. He's got a greater influence around hip-hop in general, but his Houston influence is really deep and on a personal level, end quote. It's no telling what DJ Screw's mixtapes would sound like today if the artist was still alive. Quote, who knows, end quote, Walker said. Quote, it's so fun to think about because DJ Screw really used technology in some ways. He didn't have processors. He had different pieces of equipment. He didn't use CDs in his process of mixing. He didn't have a traditional label. But he was building a new studio before he died, and he was going to do mail order and internet orders. It's fun to think about what DJ Screw would do with the technology we have now, considering how deep we are in analog technology now. It's really fun to think about, but the possibilities are endless, end quote. Co-owner of Endless Horizon, Sam Logan, also commented on DJ Screw's legacy. Quote, it's just he revolutionized a whole subgenre and a whole new culture, end quote, Logan said. Quote, it's cool to see someone from Houston being given the proper respect that he deserves, end quote. Walker got in touch with Logan about coming over to Endless Horizons, and the store didn't hesitate. Quote, he sent us an email and asked if we'd be interested, end quote, Logan said. Quote, I thought it was pretty cool. We've never had a book signing here to my knowledge. But I thought since we sell a lot of DJ Screw and a lot of chopped and screwed music, this would be a cool and different way to promote him and bring in people, end quote. Seeing his book come to life has been a welcoming experience for Walker. Quote, I haven't seen it on a shelf yet, end quote, Walker said. Quote, people have sent me pictures of it on shelves, and I never get tired of seeing it. It's so rewarding to see packaged copies of the book and mail them off. I imagined it for so long and how a vision of how I wanted to work and look, and University of Texas Press did such a good job of shaping that vision up, end quote. Longest-running jazz party in the world to return. In a few weeks, the longest-running jazz party in the world will return in Odessa as the 2022 edition of the West Texas Jazz Party gets set to take place. From June 2nd through 4th, the 56th annual West Texas Jazz Party will take place with performances at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center and Ector Theater. The performances will start at 7 p.m. June 2nd at the Devonian Ballroom at the Odessa Marriott. The next day, a concert will take place at 8 p.m. at Ector Theater as a part of Hot Summer Nights. June 4th will feature multiple performances. The first performance will be the brunch concert from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Devonian Ballroom. Later that day, the closing concert will start at 7 p.m. also at the Devonian Ballroom. Quote, we're very excited, end quote, West Texas Jazz Party President Eric Baker said. Quote, this makes it the longest running jazz party in the world, end quote, Baker said. Quote, what makes that special is that it started right here in Odessa, Texas, end quote. Since 1967, jazz music has found a home in the hearts and ears of music-loving West Texans in the Permian Basin. The original Odessa Jazz Party began as a product of decent economic times in the Permian Basin. The Midland Jazz Classic started up in 1977. The Odessa Jazz Party was spearheaded by Dr. O.A. Jimmy Fulcher, along with other West Texas businessmen and jazz enthusiasts, such as Will Ferris, Ernie Schuer, and Pinky Roden. The original jazz party took place at what is now Lincoln Tower, back when it was still a hotel and rebranded as the Inn of the Golden West. Specifically, the party took place at the Golden Rooster at Lincoln Hotel. Quote, that building is still in downtown, end quote, Baker said. Quote, the top of that used to be the Golden Rooster, and that's where the jazz parties were held in the late 1960s. A couple of folks had a dream to bring jazz music to West Texas, and it flourished. It wasn't long before both Odessa and Midland's jazz parties merged into one. Today, the jazz party brings in famous musicians from all across the country. Quote, both Odessa and Midland have their own jazz associations, end quote, Baker said. Quote, in the mid-90s, they came together to form the West Texas Jazz Society. That's been going on ever since. Each year, we bring in 20 musicians from across the world and the United States, from New York to California. They come out to West Texas for the biggest concerts on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday for the community and students. It's a wonderful time to just celebrate America's music, which is jazz. Jazz began in America, end quote. One of the musicians playing at this year's West Texas Jazz Party is pianist Johnny Varro. Quote, they're all complete legends, end quote, Baker said. Quote, Johnny has been coming to the jazz party for decades. He's a piano player, and he began sitting in and playing with some of the jazz masters of the 1940s and 50s. Johnny has been our music director for a long time. He puts things together. He knows these musicians well enough to put them together in small groups and small bands to make them work best and shine. He gives them an opportunity to highlight their best traits with other musicians. He'll put trumpet players and trombone players together that work well and sound good together. Johnny is one of our longtime legends. We'll also have people who will be with us for the first time this year, which is great. Other musicians that will be performing this year include drummer Kevin Canner and bassist Charlie Silva. Quote, we're excited to welcome a few people to the jazz party this year, end quote, Baker said. Quote, we have both young people and some of our more traditional season members coming back, end quote. This year's format will be similar to last year's West Texas Jazz Party. Quote, we'll look a lot like last year as far as the schedule, end quote, Baker said. Quote, we'll start things off on Thursday night with an event from 7 to 11 p.m. in the Devonian Ballroom of the Odessa Marriott. We're really excited to partner with the Odessa Marriott this year because it's just blocks away from the first jazz party in the late 60s. It really feels like a homecoming to be back in downtown Odessa. We'll also have the dance floor out for people who want to come out and enjoy this music and dance if they want to, end quote. Tickets range from $25 for general admission to $200 for a patron pass. The Hot Summer Nights performance will be free. Quote, we've also collaborated with Randy Hamm and Odessa Arts to bring the first Hot Summer Nights concert for 2022 to the Ector Theater, and that's a partnership with the West Texas Jazz Society, end quote, Baker said. Quote, even if people aren't familiar with the West Texas Jazz Party, if they know about Hot Summer Nights and they want to come out, then they'll get a taste of what the jazz party is all about. Saturday morning from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., we'll have a brunch that people listen to and buy a ticket for a nice brunch, and then we'll close out the concert from 7 to 11 Saturday, end quote. Baker talked about what it means for Odessa to be able to continue to host the West Texas Jazz Party, as well as what it means for the arts in the community. Quote, I think so often our community can get pitch and hold into things like all we're about is oil and gas and Friday night lights, end quote, Baker said. Quote, but Odessa specifically has such a rich and thriving arts community, primarily led by Randy Hamm and Odessa Arts. We have a wonderful symphony here. We have the Jazz Party celebrating year number 56. We have the Ellen Noel Art Museum. There are so many things going on. There's the Shakespeare Festival at Odessa College. Those are some of the things that are unique to Odessa. Odessa is a thriving artistic community. We have new murals going up all over the place. We're just happy to be a part of the uniquely public arts scene here. It's great to get out and spread the word, end quote. Tickets for the West Texas Jazz Party can be found at tinyurl.com/2s4zcuer.
we've been reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.